Well, greetings, friends, in the precious name of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. Again, this is your radio speaker, Minor Hawk, coming to you with another message of salvation to those who realize their need of a Savior. And I trust that all of you listening to my voice today will just take a break from whatever you've been doing and listen to the Word of God. You know, it seems as though people are too busy these days to listen to the Word of God. Yes, they've got time for business, time for pleasure, but for Christ the crucified, not a place that he can enter in the heart for which he died. Let's listen to a lovely tune now, and it's entitled, In the Sweet By and By.
There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar, for the Father waits over the way to prepare a dwelling place there in the sweet by and by.
Thank God today that in the sweet by and by, I'm going to be in God's heaven. No, not because I deserve to be in heaven, but only through faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. But how about you, friend? What would eternity hold for you if you were to die today? Would it be the sweet by and by in heaven, or would it be in the caverns of the doomed, there to weep and wail and gnash your teeth forever? Well, friends, on this Voice of the Gospel program, I seek to bring before the unsaved listener the significance of listening to God's Word. After all, if I don't substantiate what I say with chapter and verse, then I couldn't blame anyone for not heeding what I say. But friend, when I tell you that God says something, then you'd better listen, because He is the one with whom we have to do. Not only that, but God promises to bless His Word. In Isaiah 55 and verse 11, we're told that God's Word shall not return unto Him void. Again, in Romans 3 and 4, we're told, let God be true and every man a liar. So that's it, friend. You as an individual creature of God, if you're ever going to be in God's heaven, must give heed to the Word of God. Now, in this regard, I want to tell you that if you don't give heed to God's Word, then the alternative is the judgment of God. The Lord Jesus Christ says in John 12 and verse 48, He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath one that judgeth him. The words that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. With that solemn thought in mind, let us ask God's blessing on His Word. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we bow in Thy presence today to thank Thee again for Thy Son. We thank Thee for His condescending grace. We thank Thee for His perfect walk while here upon the scenes of earth. But we thank Thee most of all for Calvary, for it was there that they crucified Him. It was there that He cried, "It is finished." He had completed the work that Thou didst give Him to do. And our God, those of us who are saved today, we rest where Thou dost rest, in the finished work of Christ. And Father, we thank Thee for the exalted man in the glory, Thy beloved Son, And Father, our desire today is to preach the gospel of thy grace expressed in Jesus Christ. May there be those listening in today who will close in with thine offer of love and mercy and grace expressed in Jesus Christ. We'll be careful to give thee all the thanksgiving and praise, for we ask it in his name. Amen. Now, friends, those of you who care to follow me in the scriptures, I'll be using as my text for today one verse as we find it in John's Gospel, chapter 10. John's Gospel, chapter 10, and verse 9. The Lord Jesus Christ is speaking, and he says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. And the Lord will add his blessing to the public reading of his word. Now, friends, in our text for this afternoon, we hear the Lord Jesus Christ make this all-important statement of fact. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Friend, here we have the Son of God making a statement which he alone could make, because no one else who ever drew the breath of life could ever truthfully make such a statement. Now, friends, let's just analyze this verse of Scripture and see what makes it so significant in the preaching of the gospel of God's grace. Well, first of all, the verse starts off with a personal pronoun, I. And since the Lord Jesus Christ alone is doing the speaking, it's quite obvious that he is referring to himself. And friend, when he declares, I am the door, he immediately excludes everything and everyone else. Yes, he makes it quite clear that he and he alone is the gateway to God's heaven. Now, no doubt there are many of you listening in today who are not aware of the fact that Jesus Christ is the door to heaven. And if I were to ask you how a person gets to heaven, you would perhaps say, well, you've got to live a good, clean life and do the best you can. In other words, friend, you believe that good works will gain you entrance into the presence of God. And you believe that if your good deeds outweigh your evil deeds, then when you die, heaven is sure to be your soul's eternal abode. Listen, friend, before I go any further, let me make one statement and ask one question. The statement is this. What I say today, friend, I say in love for your soul, in view of eternity, in the fear of God, and with the Bible as my only authority. Now, the question I ask is simply this. Friend, where did you ever get the devil-inspired and scripturally unsubstantiated theory that your so-called good works or religious activity would take you to heaven? Well, there's one thing sure, friend. You didn't read it in the Bible. No, nowhere in the Word of God from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22 do we read that it is possible to reach heaven by so-called good works. In fact, there isn't one verse in the entire Word of God that says you can reach heaven by either trying to do the best you can or living a so-called good, clean life. Friends, way back in Genesis chapter 3, when our first parents sinned against God, they sought to hide their nakedness and sin with the fig leaves of self-righteousness. In Genesis chapter 4, Cain and Abel, the sons of Adam and Eve, both brought an offering unto God. And you recall how Abel shed the blood of an innocent animal in following the pattern which God had set forth in the previous chapter. But not so with Cain. We read that he brought the efforts of his own labors, his own good works, and God refused to accept his offering. Then over in Luke chapter 18, we read of the Pharisee and the publican, who both went up to the temple to pray. And here again we're told that the self-righteous and religious Pharisee was condemned by God because he was boasting of his so-called good works, instead of acknowledging his sinnership in the sight of a thrice holy God. Now, friend, if you still need further proof that your so-called good works cannot take you to heaven, then let's just read directly from several portions in the Bible, the Word of God. In Romans 3 and verse 10, God says, there is none righteous, no, not one. In verse 12 of that same chapter, we read, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. In verse 20 of Romans chapter 3, we read, by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in God's sight. And in verse 23 of that same Romans chapter 3, God declares in grand summation, there's no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Friend, are you still depending upon good works? All right, then let's take another look at the Bible. In the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6, here's what we read. For we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 5 we read, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Now over in Romans 4 and verse 5, God declares, "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." Do you still have good works, friend? All right then, I've still got some scripture to prove you wrong. Over in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, here's what God says. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works." Did you hear that, friend? Not of works, lest any man should boast. And then I think of that well-known scripture, yes, the description of all those who trust in their so-called good works to get to heaven. In Isaiah 1 and verse 6, God declares that from the sole of the foot to the top of the head were nothing but open wounds, festering bruises, and putrefying sores. Friend, are you still depending upon your so-called good works and religious activity to take you to heaven? Well, if you are, after what God says to the contrary, then all I can say is that you're on your way to hell. But in love for your soul, friend, I, for one, will keep praying that the Spirit of God, using God's Word, will convict you of your condition before God and will point you to His Son, Jesus Christ, as the one and only one who can save your soul. Yes, He's the one who tells us in our text, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." Now, as I said before, the personal pronoun "I" in our text excludes everything and everyone else as the door to heaven. And what God says about our so-called good works, He also says about rituals, church membership, and ordinances. Listen, sinner friend, nothing you can do apart from placing your faith and trust in the blood of Jesus Christ can take you into the glories of heaven. And I don't care whether it's confirmation, dedication, baptism, communion, fasting, tithing, praying, Bible reading, or anything else. Friend, if you've never seen yourself as a lost, guilty, and hell-deserving sinner, and then placed your trust in the blood of Christ to cleanse you from all sin, then friend, according to the infallible Word of God, you've never been saved. You've never been converted, and you've never been born again. And Jesus Christ told that religious Pharisee named Nicodemus over in John 3 and 3 that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Yes, friend, Jesus Christ has every right to use that pronoun "I" when he said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." Listen, sinner friend, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was God manifest in the flesh, was, is, and ever shall be the great I Am. He was the only one who could say of a truth, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." He was the only one who said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." He was the only one who could say, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." He was the only one who could say, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Friend, as sure as you're listening to my voice today, you can be sure that Jesus Christ, God's Son, is the one and only door leading to the place called heaven. So if you ever expect to sing the song of the redeemed, you'll have to come to Calvary's cross. You'll have to see Jesus Christ dying in your guilty room and in your stead. Yes, my friend, and by faith, you'll receive remission for sins and pass from spiritual death unto spiritual life. And this leads us to the second word in our verse for today, John 10 and 9. Jesus said, "I am the door." He didn't say, "I was the door," as though it were only for a past application, nor did he say, "I will be the door," as though it were true only for the future. Oh, no, my friend. Jesus Christ says, "I am," present tense. "I am the door," meaning that He is the door right now. Not tomorrow or next week or next month, but right now. Listen, friend, the salvation which God presents through His Son is a present salvation. And if you neglect or reject Jesus Christ as your Savior today, you have no guarantee that you'll ever have another opportunity to enter the door to heaven. That wise man Solomon tells us over in Proverbs 27 and verse 1, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Tell me, friend, are you sure of being alive tomorrow? With people passing out of time into eternity at the rate of 134,000 a day, are you sure this isn't your last day on earth? Ah, no, my friend. Life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf. Be in time. Please, friend, please don't let the devil rob you of God's day of grace. Don't let him tell you that there's plenty of time to get saved. Don't let him tell you that good works or church membership will save your soul either. Don't let him tell you that there's no such a place as hell. Because today, my friend, there are countless thousands spending their first hours in the flames of torment. And they, too, were people who believed the Bible, so to speak. And yet they were deluded by the enemy of their soul, the devil. Yes, they believed the Bible, but they didn't believe what was in the Bible. Listen, friend, if you deny that there's a hell, I'll tell you one thing. 5 seconds after you die, you'll believe it. But it'll be too late then. Yes, you'll be just like a lot of people today who are down in hell spending their first hours in torment. And when they were alive on earth, they didn't believe in a hell either. And some of them thought that they had plenty of time to accept Christ as their Savior too. But my friend, they were cut down out of time much sooner than they had expected. Oh, friend, I plead with you from the bottom of my heart today. Don't neglect your soul's salvation. Just take your place as a lost, guilty, and hell-deserving sinner. Then simply place your trust in God's Son, Jesus Christ, as your Savior. Yes, friend, simply let the language of your heart be, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. You know, God says in 2 Corinthians 6 and 2, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Again in Hebrews 4 and 7 he warns, today if ye will hear my voice, harden not your heart. And then I think of those ominous words which God utters over in Proverbs 29 and verse 1. He that being often reproved or warned, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Oh, how sad it is when I think of the many who are under the convicting power of God's Holy Spirit today, and yet may be in hell before tomorrow's sun begins to rise. Sinner friend, claim the promise of Jesus Christ, who tells us in John 6 and verse 37, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. And in our text for today, he promises, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. My, what a blessed promise that is to those who are saved by the grace of God. Yes, he says, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Now the third word in our verse is the definite article, the. Jesus said, I am the door. The door. And here again, we notice he didn't say, I am a door. Oh no. He makes it quite clear and emphatic. I am the door. We have this same fact brought before us in Acts 4 and verse 12, where God says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given amongst men, whereby we must be saved. And friend, that means exactly what it says. There is absolutely none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. In fact, even before he was born, the angel told Joseph that his name would be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And over in John 1, verses 11 and 12, we read concerning Jesus Christ, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Yes, sinner friend, Jesus Christ is the door. And furthermore, he is the only door. In Isaiah 45 and verse 22, we read the verse which pointed the great D.L. Moody to Christ. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. And friend, the same is true today. If you'll only take your place as a rebel sinner and accept Jesus Christ as your only Savior, you'll be saved by the grace of God. And you'll be born again by the Holy Spirit and Word of God from above. And again, let me remind you that Jesus Christ is the door to everlasting life. But don't forget, friend, that it cost him his precious life's blood. Over in Hebrews 9 and 22, God tells us that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sin. And that's the reason Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross, shed his precious blood that cleanseth from all sin. And now, friend, all you have to do is to believe it with all your heart, not only in your head, but in your heart also. Yes, there are many people today who have an intellectual knowledge of God's way of salvation, but it has never reached their heart, and they're still in their sin, going down the broad road to the pit. Friend, I plead with you today to take a look at yourself in the sight of God. Are you saved? Can you look back to a definite time in your life when you accepted God's Son as your own and personal Savior? You know, there are a lot of people today and they say they've been saved and born again, but they can't remember the experience. Listen, my friend, you're not saved or born again in your sleep. You have to make a definite choice, either for or against Jesus Christ, once you are convicted of your need for a Savior. I know I can look back very clearly to that time in my life, on June the 2nd of 1952, when as a hopeless, helpless sinner going down to hell, I accepted God's Son as my Savior and my Lord. Tell me, my friend, have you been born again? If so, when? If so, where? And if so, how were you born again into the family of God? If it wasn't through faith in God's Son, then you're still under the condemnational wrath of a sin-hating God. Now then, let's take a brief look at the fourth word in our text for today. Jesus said, I am the door. Door. And friends, I'm sure you all know the reason why we have doors. It's to gain entrance. And that's why Jesus Christ used this simple illustration. He is the means of entering into the presence of God in heaven. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 20 we read that He is the new and living way of approach to God. And unless a sinner enters by that approach, he'll not enter at all. You know, it's a lot like Noah's Ark of which we read in the book of Genesis. There God designed for Noah an ark as a means of escaping His terrible wrath. And according to God's divine plan, there was only one door in the ark. Not many doors, but just one door. And everyone who accepted God's divine provision had to enter by means of that one door. And so it is with you, sinner friend. You've got to be saved God's way. And that means you'll have to enter by the door, the Lord Jesus Christ. So just now, wherever you are and whoever you may be, acknowledge your need for a Savior. Repent of your sin. And then in simple childlike faith, accept God's Son as your own and personal Savior. And in closing, my friend, let me again read to you our text for today, keeping in mind the fact that these words came from Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In John 10 and 9, He declares, I am the door. By Me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Friend, if the Holy Spirit of God is dealing with you at all, please, please don't cast Him aside. Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. And friend, if you do, according to God who cannot lie, you'll be saved for time. And thank God, you'll be saved for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Yes, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Our gracious God and our Father, we again bow in Thy presence today to thank Thee for Thy Son, Thine unspeakable gift. We thank Thee for the value and the virtue of His shed blood at Calvary. We thank Thee, too, for extending the day of grace so that we might have this blessed opportunity to tell forth the wonders of Thy grace expressed in Jesus Christ. Save souls, for we ask it in His name. Amen.
But that
Well, friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. As I've mentioned many times before, if I can be of any further help in pointing you as a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, well, believe me, I'll be only too happy to do so. If you'd like to have some good basic sound and fundamental gospel literature, I'll send it to you absolutely free and by return mail. You just send me your name and address and send it to the Voice of the Gospel. That's the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, and the zip code is 15134. You just write to me, and don't send any money, just send your name and address. Send your name and address to the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, 15134, and I'll send you some good gospel literature by return mail. Now, friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast, and if the Lord doesn't come, we expect to be with you again. But you know, my friend, as I've mentioned many times in the past, we never know from day to day whether or not we're going to have another opportunity to preach and to listen to the gospel. The coming of the Lord is very near, and this might be the last gospel message ever to go forth. Yes, my friend, the Lord may come today, and if you were to be left behind unsaved, you'd be left behind for the divine judgment of a holy and a righteous God. So, friend, I plead with you in closing again today to trust Christ before it's eternally too late. And now until our next broadcast, Lord willing, this is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.